Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning, I'm Charlie Herman. Joining me, regular contributors Joan Ocera with the New York Times and Rana Fruhart with Time Magazine. And let's just start right away with the stock market. It's been another ugly week. In the last 2 weeks, we've really seen the S&P and the Dow Jones fall so much that it's as if 2014 hasn't happened at all. All the records that we've seen, has this been a long time coming? Is this the correction that we keep hearing analysts talk about that we may see at some point?
I think it's one of those corrections. And yeah, I think it has been a long time coming. You know, we've talked on this show before about how disconnected the markets have been from the real economy. So even before growth, came up a little bit in the U.S., there was this sense that the markets were way up here and the real economy was somewhere down on the ground with this recovery that a lot of people don't feel. And I think now what's happened is the markets are factoring in slower growth. Europe's tipping possibly back into recession. There's a big slowdown in Asia led by China. And even the U.S. recovery is not as strong as we'd like it to be.
You know, there's also the issue of central banks. Our central bank has basically announced that it's going to stop its bond buying program fairly soon.
And this is the program that really flooded the economy with money, that really tried to kickstart the economy.
That's right. And so that has to send some nervousness in the market. Over in Europe, where they really seem to be having still significant problems, their central bank doesn't have nearly the clout of our Fed. And they can't, even though Mario Draghi, the central bank president, probably would like to do something like that, he basically can't.
But we have known for a long time that the Federal Reserve is going to do this. So why now? And is there the chance that the Federal Reserve may actually reverse course or make some changes because of what they're seeing in the stock market?
That would be a pretty radical step because it would be a 180-degree turn from the guidance that they've given for several months now. But I think that the reason we're seeing this downturn now is there's always been a sense that we don't quite know what this recovery is built on. Wages are flat. You know, this is a consumption economy. Until you have more people with more money in their pockets, you can't really have faith in it. And so when you have something like the retail spending numbers come in weaker, that makes people very jittery.
When you have Walmart announce that
exactly.
They don't think sales are going to be as good.
Exactly.
And even with the iPhone out there, consumer sales.
But Joe, a lot of companies are going to start reporting their earnings. And if those look really good, do you think that people might say, oh, wait, actually, we think the economy is doing better and the stock market goes back up and this is just a blip?
Well, it's certainly possible. But, you know, bank earnings already came in, or the big banks anyway. And, you know, they're just so-so. They're nothing to write home about. I suspect earnings are going to be kind of blah. And the real question is not so much is this going to be a blip and it starts to run right back up again. I actually don't think that's going to happen. I think this is the market's coming back to earth. It's sort of becoming more aligned with the real economy. And I think you could sort of see it just kind of flattening out, staying in this range for a while, and not starting it zip back up again.
You know, I actually think that we could see more than just a long-term flattening, more volatility, because there's basically two stories here. There's the fact that, as Joe says, profit margins have been high for a long time. There's a sense that corporations can't really eke out much more from balance sheets. But at the same time, where are you going to put your money? The U.S. is oddly the growth economy. You know, we're the old rich country, but yet we're probably going to grow as fast, if not faster, than the rest of the world this year.
Well, while the stock market has been dropping, we've also been seeing the price of oil dropping, which has really been basically a tax cut for consumers who are paying less at the pump. But is cheap oil good for the economy right now?
Lower oil prices are always good for the economy, but there are two reasons behind this. One is that the U.S. is producing more. More cheap oil at home is a good thing, brings more supply online. But at the same time, China, which has been the largest energy consumer in the last year, is slowing down. That could be bad for the U.S. economy because a lot of our exports go to China. There's a very sort of codependent relationship there that could come back and bite us.
Also, at a certain price, and we're kind of near it now in this $80 range,
$80 a barrel range.
$80 a barrel range. There's a point at which our extraction of oil becomes unprofitable. I mean, it costs a lot of money to frack, and hydraulic fracturing is what's been driving the market. There's another thing that's going on also, which is that Saudi Arabia has basically decided to maintain its market share and basically is undercutting the rest of OPEC on price. So the Saudis are actually helping to maintain this low oil price, which they can afford.
Because they're still continuing to produce
mm-hmm.
a lot
That's
of
right.
oil, which is adding to the glut.
And oil is still very cheap for them, whereas for Russia, for instance, they need $90 a barrel oil to balance their own budget. budget. Mm.
So this actually plays into some geopolitical issues that these lower oil prices, which affect the Russian economy, might have a greater effect on what's happening there than any of the sanctions that the administration is putting in place.
You know, there is nothing worse for a petro-dictator than a fall in oil prices. Every time this happens, it causes it can cause regime change, actually.
So, but do these gas prices actually signal that the economy is doing better here in the U.S., or is it actually a sign that the rest of the world is really weak and really could be pulling us down?
I think it's more the latter. I think the fact that China has slowed down, and so much of the China slowdown is affecting the commodity-producing countries like Russia, like Brazil, like West Africa, I think that that's having a real snowball effect.
You know, there's another issue, though, that's on people's minds that goes way beyond the stock market or oil prices, gas prices, and that is Ebola. And I'm wondering, you know, as deadly as this disease is one of the things that's fueling the concern about it is just a simple fear, and that that fear is also something that we're seeing in the stock market, and that right now we're in the situation where everything that's happening is just based on perception and maybe not reality.
Well, Charlie, you asked earlier, why is this the moment that the market starts to fall as opposed to any other moment, given that the underlying fundamentals haven't changed all that much? And I do think the Ebola scare has affected people's thinking. There aren't very many cases, obviously, in the United States, but still it's on everybody's mind. It's on the front page of the paper. And people on Wall Street are actually talking about Ebola.
Yeah, no, that's true. And the fact that it's coming off the back of a number of other things, the conflict in the Middle East, the conflict in Russia and the Ukraine, the protests in Hong Kong, it just makes it feel like it's kind of a risky world out there and you don't know where the risk is coming from.
So markets are not always rational.
What a surprise.
Joe, Rana, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe Nocera is with the New York Times and Rana Fruhar is with Time Magazine. The stock market, oil prices, Ebola. We'll be keeping an eye on all of that here at WNYC and online at WNYC.org. And of course, there's the other stories we'll be watching.
I'm watching the Keystone XL pipeline, which President Obama has been ducking his entire 6 years in office. He's got to make a decision. The midterms are coming up. That's when he's going to do it.
I'm watching TV. CBS has a new streaming video product. HBO is coming out with a product to compete with Netflix. This is the direction TV's going.
Thanks so much for listening. And don't forget, you can find this program as a podcast in iTunes. Just click on the subscribe button. And while you're there, leave us a review. We'd love to hear what you have to say. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.